What's going on, world? Welcome to another edition of Culture Connection. I'm still waiting for somebody to give me my jingle. I came up with a little jingle earlier. It had a little Jamaican theme to it. I'm gonna sing you a little bit right now. Here it goes. Culture Connection. Culture Connection. We bring you dance, music, theater, film, culture, connection. Okay, that's a little bit. You don't even deserve the rest of that because it's so on point. I'm going to actually go copyright it right now because somebody's trying to steal that beat right now. But let me just say that today is a really, really special day because we have an awesome guest in the house with us at Culture Connection today. And I'm kind of beaming right now. I'm cheesing right now. Amazing, awesome human being, woman of God, talent, just a gorgeous spirit of a person is with us. And without further ado, I'm just going to reveal who she is. this build up. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Black Is Family Culture Connection, our episode, Miss Cameron Green.
Thank you so much, man. Wow, like what? What an introduction. I'm going to have to take you on the road with me.
I will happily go with you. For those of you who do not know, Cameron Green is a disc jockey on 102.3 KJLH here in Los Angeles. And Cameron is amazing on her show. And she's been just doing it for years. And so when I called her up, connected with her, you were just so amenable. So I just want to say thank you to saying yes to Culture Connection. And, you know, we're just all about spreading, you know, the love and supporting you. And so I want to say thank you at the top of the show.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for, you know, having me and just really thinking about me. I don't take anything lightly, and I just bless God for every opportunity. So I just want to thank you for even thinking of me. This is truly an honor, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, so let's just get in real quick. You know, all of our information, I can be found on Twitter at Callie Yaley, C-A-L-I-Y-A-L-I-E. Ask your friend if you don't know what that means. I can also, we are on blackisonline.com, on Facebook, where Black Is Magazine, and Twitter, Black Is Online is our handle. And you can reach us on the hotline at 323-455-4219. We're working on Brother Malcolm remembering the hotline number because it's only been a year and I still forget the number, Cameron.
That's what the smartphones have done to us.
And you know what's interesting? I worked in a radio station before, mm-hmm. and the numbers are up there for you.
Yes,
so actually, people don't have to remember.
That's right. You need a little note right here.
I do right here on my laptop. Yes. Like the hotline number is right here.
That's right.
But without further ado, I just wanted to sit down and talk with you, Cameron, about a few things. I mean, you have been, many people don't know, but you are a California native.
Yes.
She hails from the LBC.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
And she reps it hard. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, your birthplace, the birthplace of Snoop and the home of the Queen mm-hmm. Mary, mm-hmm. but also the home of Cameron Green. So can you tell us about growing up in the LBC and what it's been like living there? And are you still residing in the LBC? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Long Beach is a phenomenal place. And I almost feel like I'm an ambassador for Long Beach in so many ways because I just truly love the character of Long Beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it is diverse. A lot of people say, oh, my city's diverse. But Long Beach is really, truly diverse. And it just offers so many things. I mean, my community, yes, I still am there. And the community that I live in is, you can still, you know, Friday nights, they have everyone come out on the sidewalks, all the businesses. And I mean, it's just a real spirit of community. And Long Beach is got some great talent, birthed some wonderful actresses and actors, Cameron Diaz, you know, just to name a few. If you don't know who she is, she's an actress.
I know the camera.
You know, great musicians. Yeah, I mean, you know, great musicians. And it's just, I like to coin it as a little big city. It truly is. It's a little, it's a little big city because, it's a small, it's not a huge place, but it's got a lot of character, a lot of personality, and a lot of folks there that reside, that still reside there. And what I think is amazing is that even if you leave, you usually come back, to Long Beach. Mm-hmm. So
it's got a lot of culture.
It's got a lot of culture. I think that's a like great culture way. Connection.
Thank you. I mean, I think that's a great way to describe it because you not only do you have the Queen Mary, but you've got the aquarium. You've got great theater out there.
You've excellent theater. You've got comedy.
You've got comedy.
You've got if you're a connoisseur of fine dining, you've got some amazing restaurants.
And a walking promenade.
A walking promenade. Just the mayor has done a really great job of trying to preserve, especially in the Pike area, try to preserve the culture. And the Pike is huge for Long Beach and really part, an integral part of what that city is. Mm-hmm. So the mayor has done a really great job of making sure that it's growing in that area. Commerce is growing. So it's just an amazing place. I absolutely love Long Beach. And it's funny because folks that don't live there, they think they know, but they really don't know. There's a lot of pride and spirit for all of the residents that live in Long Beach.
And is that where your family, because I know my family migrated from the South and they moved to San Diego and then my mother moved to Los Angeles when she was in college and that's how I was born in Los Angeles. But is your family lineage based in Long Beach or is it a migration moment as well for you?
It's a migration moment, but all I know is Long Beach. When my parents migrated to Long Beach, that's where we grew up. And that's, education was always really important to them. Mm-hmm. So they went where, schooling was best, where they felt like I could get, or their children could get, a really well-rounded experience, which is really what I love about my parents. And they really embraced Long Beach, theater. My mom made sure that we took in theater in Long Beach, local repertory theaters and, were exposed to what the city had to offer, involved because they believed not just living there, but really giving back and working in the city and, taking advantage of activities, after school activities. Mm-hmm. They made sure that we were a part of that. And I think that was their way of giving back to the city. So, that's all I know is Long Beach.
I love it. And it's so funny. It's a perfect segue into my next question because you mentioned education. Mm-hmm. And I believe you went to one of the greatest schools in the world. I believe
I think the
University of California at Berkeley.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Go Bears.
You wouldn't get an argument with Go Bears. You wouldn't get an argument with me on your Cal status. Can you talk to us about your time in the Bay and anything that you learned that still resonates with you or that experience that resonates with you today, any skills, relationships, anything that you took home from the Bay? Because I know for me, when I was in the Bay, it was such a maturation period of my life and a lot of things that I learned about how to treat people, my skill set, my career, a lot of it was developed and honed at Berkeley.
That's a really interesting question that you posed because it really got me started in where I'm at now in the entertainment industry. It's where I really started my work in radio, was in the Bay Area. I mean, I'm, like I said, I'm a Long Beach girl. So, moving and going to the Bay was a bit scary. I was like, I don't know, it is not LA. Hello,
is it like
somebody.
A foreign country where you're from LA?
Hello.
I did not know where I was going. And let me tell you.
Why is everything closed so soon?
I know. Everything's like 10 o'clock. What?
Yeah, yeah.
And we think 2 o'clock is bad. Man, Berkeley stuff closed down. You can't get no food after 11.
Not a thing.
Unless you go to the ghetto food court.
Yeah, exactly, right? So growing up in Long Beach and going there, it was really a transition. I had to really... Like you said, you matured. I, too, feel like that was a big part of creating who I was at Berkeley, finding myself, finding my niche. And I worked for a station up there. I did sports, anchored the evening news for a station up there, KALX 90.7, shout out. And I also, a lot of people don't know, I also recruited for Cal's football team. So
I sure did.
So, so that's where actually my love of sports was birthed. I have five brothers also. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a home where what we did was we watched sports. So even today, when I meet guys and like, you want SportsCenter's on, hello. Like SportsCenter. I'm like, SportsCenter
is on. Can lull me to sleep in the night.
But that's
and
where.
Wake me up too.
He's so silly.
After I read my word.
After you read your word, right? Word. so that's where my love of sports, my passion really built. So when I went to Cal, I've always knew that I wanted to do something in entertainment, which coming in declared, as you know, is rare. Mm-hmm. So I went in knowing what I wanted to do and just having to find my way. I mean, being away from my family, you know, mm-hmm. that was something. And but ended up falling in love with radio mm-hmm. and did that for a while up there for KALX, you know, anchored their evening news, mm-hmm. really got my hands dirty in radio. And it's funny because now everything is so, you know, revolutionized with the computers. They've changed mm-hmm. the way that we function. You know, in Berkeley, that station was old school. It was like carts. You know, demagnetize your cart and go get your sound. So I'm running, you know, I'm after class, I'm running to the stadium to get my sound. And, uh-huh. you know, one experience in particular, just talking about my start there, really stands out to me in that, you know, I don't want to call any names, but I will. I went to one press conference and some guys from the Chronicle were there. Mm-hmm. And I remember them looking at me and laughing at me. Mm. And saying, you know, what are you doing here? And I was like, what do you mean? What am I doing here? You know, I work for the station and blah, blah, blah. And they thought that was funny. And they're looking at me like, oh, you're some kind of groupie, right? You know, no, I'm here to do my job so I can go back to the station right. in time for my evening news report. Right. But that single experience really grew me up. Mm-hmm. It was my sort of a taste into how it would be for a woman in media, mm. a woman in sports. Mm. You know, that's an area we often don't talk about, but it can be challenging, you know, in so many ways. But I would say Berkeley, really, that experience helped me to really grow my skin, thicken my skin. If you don't have thick skin in this business, it's hard to last. I don't care how saved you are. I'm just being for real, you know.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, I mean, so many folks that I met there. So many. I mean, I met you there. You know, so many amazing relationships and. It being a place that was fantastic, but also not being a place where there was a whole lot of, you know, minorities, we got a chance to be close. We just did. But to me, that was such a beautiful thing and such a part of the beautiful experience of Berkeley in that, you know, really finding that we have to lean on each other, mm-hmm. finding that, you know, there's not many of us who look like us. So we have to create our own sense of community. And I think that was awesome. I wouldn't take that back for anything, actually.
And I think we did it very well.
We did it
then.
Very, I mean, very well.
And I hope and pray the brothers and sisters up there are doing it because I know the numbers have dwindled. Diminished mm-hmm. and just they're staggeringly low.
Yeah.
It was funny. You were doing an interview, and I think I hit you up on Facebook. You were doing an interview with Robbie.
Oh, yeah.
When his movie was out. And I was like so proud. I was like, look at two Cal Bears on the radio interviewing and just going back and forth with one another. Mm-hmm. It was just such a really, really proud moment. It's so awesome. And I'm sure many people now who are listening probably recognize your voice if you haven't. Cameron, I believe at KJLA started with Spread the Word.
I started with Spread the Word. I've actually been with Spread the Word for almost 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah, co-hosting with Andre Russell. And then our fantastic owner gave me a fantastic show that I love, which is the Radio Free Top 23 on Saturdays. So I'm enjoying that.
Oh, and you're
so
awesome
much.
On it.
Thank you.
And I love it. It's so funny. I saw your boss at Houston's.
Oh, you did?
On Sunday. I was like, what's up, sir?
Hello,
how
sir.
How you doing, Mr. Wonder? Very good to see you. So tell me, what about the radio entices you, and what do you hope that your impact will be on the radio when you get on the mic, you know, or since the moment you've begun, what has it been about the radio that has made your heart beat, if you will?
That's a great question. I mean, to me, I feel like, I don't know if this sounds weird saying it, but I almost transform when the mic comes on. You know, I am a visual learner, so and with that, I'm a creative spirit. So I'm always trying to figure out what I can do to be better. I feel like we never arrive. If we feel like we've arrived, we've got more work to do.
Right.
And you know, when I turn on that, hit that button, and I'm on air, it's just an opportunity for me to be really creative, to be free. Mm-hmm. You know, I like attention, and I don't mean to say that in a negative way, but I've always been that kid. Like my mom told me when I was like five, I snatched the mic at church because, you know, I did my Easter speech because apparently the person before me wasn't doing it.
They weren't prepared.
Right. They didn't do their work. Right. Mm-mm. They weren't prepared. Mm-mm. So
you had to memorize that through the first rehearsal.
Yeah. Exactly. And I used to have, I had a tape recorder, and I used to actually, you know, when I was younger, pretend like I had a radio show.
Mm.
So, I mean, it was even then that I knew love speech and debate in school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime I'm public speaking, I never had a fear of public speaking. I love to command a presence in a room. And I was actually just telling a friend that I love it when I'm, you know, up in front of a crowd, you know, I love that. I've never been the person that's been scared to be in front of people. So it's something about that that translates into radio, mm-hmm. you know, that allows me to feel really free mm-hmm. and to feel like I can talk, you know, talk to the people. They can't talk back to me, mm-hmm. but I feel very connected. And I love music. Music is like one of my passions. I love all mm-hmm. genres of music. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be able to play things that you really like, and to be able to create, you know, and then there's so many other parts of radio that people don't know. It's not just pushing buttons and playing music. I mean, there's actual fundamentals, you know, that go along with radio that are really interesting. You know, it's more than just, you know, playing the songs. All of that intrigues me. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just transform. I think that fascinates me alone. Mm-hmm.
It was interesting because I was interning at KPFK 90.7 FM on Edna Tatum's Gospel
Fantastic.
Classic show. And I was just amazed by the skill it takes to, like, people don't realize what seems effortless. I immediately realized that was years of practice
yes.
of having it just roll off your tongue and also being able to set the tone
mm-hmm.
and set a mood for what people are listening to.
Right.
And the creativity and being able to craft that. And also what's very interesting is that, you know, okay, I'm a little goofy, so here's
That's
a goofy
okay.
moment. You know, oftentimes, I remember when, was it John London and the Beat?
Yes.
And they had their whole crew and
yes.
Shirley Strawberry.
Shirley Strawberry.
I think she started. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I used to think, I wonder what people on the radio look like. Because I think at that time, I think it was in high school or mm-hmm. junior high school, mm-hmm. I didn't realize that John London was a white man.
Yeah, well, Theo. Remember Theo?
And Theo. Didn't know, right?
A lot of people didn't know he was an Asian American man.
Right. And this is what's great about the radio. You mm-hmm. your physical identity is not necessarily what's important.
Right.
But I will say, ladies and gentlemen, she did not pay me to say this. Cameron Green is a beautiful,
Thank
beautiful
you.
Woman of God. Of God. I want to emphasize
Thank you,
that,
Malcolm.
Brother. But Cameron.
I appreciate you.
Thank God you're
Thank
not,
you,
you know, because some people, they get behind that mic and that's the only opportunity because they couldn't really get
you.
In front of the camera.
Aww.
Cam could get in front of the camera easily.
Very sweet.
I just want to say that on top of just being inspiring and the work that you do on the radio, you know, I think there you have other accomplishments. And specifically, I want to talk about like your health and fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because you're very public about it, mm-hmm. and it's inspired me. I just want you to talk a little bit about your health and fitness journey and what that's meant to you and why you feel that's important.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm still on this journey, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's just, I would say this, it's just very important, you know, for us to want to take care of ourselves and mm-hmm. to want to take care of our bodies. We're not often the best at that. I'm certainly not always the best at that. I'm not the first, I don't run to the doctor first thing, you know, that's just who we are as people. We push and we push. But I think it's important to get into the know or get more knowledge about what you should be eating. Mm-hmm. You know, putting down the sodium, putting down the sugar, mm-hmm. finding ways, creative ways to eat well, and really involving our families in that effort. You know, I've been on this journey for about a year and a half. I'm still working towards the grand reveal, so I won't say how much I've lost yet, but I pretty much almost lost a person.
Get it.
Really, you know, so, and it's been a blessing, but mm-hmm. more importantly, for me, it was really a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. You know, God is good, and I am
yes,
not quiet
is.
About who he is and,
yes.
and his presence in my life. And he's really been an important part of mm-hmm. this whole journey. And, you know, he spoke to me and said, you can't be quiet about it.
Right.
And I have not been quiet. You know, our KJLH Women's Health Forum, which is coming up in March, you know, last year I participated and I was able to talk to women and inspire them about, because weight loss sometimes is hard for people, especially women. Weight loss can be hard. Mm. You start a little bit and then you give up because you don't see results. Well, bodies, you know, you didn't gain it overnight.
Right.
So it's not going to come off overnight.
Right.
So you have to work at it. Find things that you love. That's what I tell people. Find ways to exercise with things that you love. It's not always going to the gym and getting on the machine. Maybe it's walking at the beach. Some people are outdoors. Really take the time and sit down and think about who you are
and what
would work best for you. And that's what I tell folks as well. Your journey is your journey. What God has for you is for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to think a little bit about what is going to be most appealing and most enjoyable to you
mm-hmm.
and then put it into action. Put it into action. You know, if you like the beach, go to the beach. If you like mm-hmm. the gym, everybody's not a gym buddy. If you like a class, sometimes that motivates a class or meeting someone, you know,
right.
can keep you accountable.
Right.
So it's been a really good journey. It's been an important journey, but also the physical component, you know, the mental component has been so great. Like, you know, being able to look at myself and love what I see, you know, I've never not loved myself, but to really, really fall in love with what I see now is great. You
it
know?
Is, it is an awesome, it awesome is. Feeling. And as somebody, I will reveal my recent success. I lost 50 pounds.
Wow.
And I was, yeah, it was, it's been a major, major, awesome. And I'm still wanting to lose another 50.
You can do it.
I'd like to lose a total of 100 pounds. But it's been an incredible journey. And I think one of the things I started realizing was, one, that, and this is not about vanity, but it was like the moment I started looking at myself in the mirror and just being like, that dude is cool. Like that. And not looking in a vain way, but just accepting like who you are, who God made you to be is fine. First of all, so start there. That's a good, that's a very good place to start. And then you move into health consciousness, right? And so I realized that I had portion control issues. I realized that I love some sugar.
Most Americans do.
You know what I mean? And so I started easy. Like one of the big things that helped me, and it was such an easy, fast result, was I remember when I stopped drinking soda, drinking way more water, and I eliminated fast food, like going to a drive-thru, a Jack and a Crack. You can drop 20 pounds doing that. Like, and most people didn't realize. If you were just like, I'm going to stop doing that. I remember I stopped eating potato chips. And so there are certain things that you can do. And I wanted people to know that, you know, folks like Cameron, who you hear on the radio and you see in what could seem like a glamorized life, they're regular folks who are challenging themselves to get to this life.
Regular folks with regular problems or regular issues that lead regular lives that are just trying to make it.
Just trying to make it. Just walking in this particular calling of their life.
No, it's very true. Very true.
So I did a little research, and I know you are a lover of the Kim Burrell, the Fred Hamon, the Anita Baker, the Sade, the Maxwell, the Stevie Wonder, the Mark Anthony, the Celia Cruz. But I was like, I'm going to give her a question that's going to really challenge her. And so here's the question. If you could only pass on two artists to influence future generations, who would they be and why?
Oh, my God. Goodness. Two artists, that's it?
Okay, I'll give you three.
Oh my goodness gracious alive. Okay. I would say Sade because she is
Break it down.
I love lyrics. I'm a lyricist.
Oh,
you can bang on pot and pans and have some lyrics that will make you melt, and I'll be like, yes. You know, like, and a lot of people don't get that. You know, you hear, that's why I said I love genres, because any genre, because it could be a country song and a deep, dope, right? You know, I think John Mayer has some of the most incredible, I mean, he's sick with his lyrics, you know, like some of his stuff is like you hear it and it's like, really, did he? I mean, metaphorically, it's just ridiculous. So I would say Sade because she just, the words almost like come out, jump out of the speaker.
There is a woman in Samaya.
Yes, or Love is Stronger Than Pride. Like when she says, you know, sitting here waiting for you would be like waiting for the sun to rise. It's all too clear, things come and go.
Get it.
Right? Okay, so I would say her. I would say Fred Hammond because I feel like I have, Fred is a friend of mine, but I have, I feel like he, in his walk, he's very transparent about who he is and his love for Christ. And also he's someone who brought my stepfather, I feel was influential in bringing my stepfather closer to Christ. So it's like a personal connection there. And I feel like people really, his music resonates with all generations. So I think passing his music on would be great. So let's see him, Sade, oy vey. You stung me with that one.
I'm gonna give you a hint.
I mean, my boss, I guess.
I was just about to say, you better say your boss.
I would say, you know, Stevie is just incomparable. He's timeless. He, you know, he has this catalog that's amazing. But I would say, aside from that, his love for God is beautiful, and is amazing,
and it's been
long standing. So
a lot of people don't know
exactly
that. And if you listen to his lyrics,
he's
it's
a
very
lyric.
Clear.
Oh my goodness,
very clear.
He's got some amazing lyrics, also, but he's also someone who reaches down and helps. So I think passing on not only his music but his humanity, his love for humanity, and his character, I think is very valuable as well. I mean, I could go on and on with that. I love so. so many artists. We just had our music sessions, and it's just awesome to see so many new artists, you know, do their thing. And there's so many new, oh my gosh, great artists who are doing some amazing work. I'm very excited about the new music that's emerging. I don't know if I could have said that 2 years ago, to be honest.
That's really good to hear.
But I feel like we are getting back to R&B.
I would agree.
And Tony and Babyface, their CD is definitely leading the charge with that. It's good R&B music. Mm. Yes.
That's good to know. When does it hit stores?
Hit the stores already. It's Love, Marriage, and Divorce. It's amazing.
Oh, yes.
It's amazing.
I've been meaning to listen to that album. Oh, okay.
It's great. So, I mean, I think just getting back to the fundamentals of, you know, just good old-fashioned music where you really just have some good old-fashioned love songs, you know, that are not too hard on the ears for the little ones, you know, but just really
raunchy.
Talk about.
Like, yeah, what's the gratuitous raunchy?
Yeah, I just, you
it's
can't
like,
do.
It's like, what is that about?
You
like,
can't do that. Honestly, I can't do too much of that. I mean,
when I listen to it, I'm like, wow. I was thinking the other day about the music that I used to listen to in the 90s, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that was probably the equivalent of what these kids are listening
to. But even
to
that
now.
It was a little foul. Yeah, but you know, if you go back and listen to some of that, really?
I was going to say Juvenile.
No, but even Jodeci, they had some suspect, like BBD, they had some suspect songs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we were like, okay, right. Yeah, right.
Oh.
So yeah, you know, I think we're getting, the music is coming back to the heart of R&B, which has been severely lacking.
That's such a good point. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Blackest family, we are music connoisseurs here.
Great.
You know, Brother Chris, who engineers this podcast, this brother knows some music. He has introduced me to more people.
That's what's up.
That I have never heard of. And literally, you know, he creates these playlists and they're just part of my Spotify playlist. I have like a good 10 of his playlists that are just, and I think I'm the only follower and I don't even care.
That's
but,
all right.
But it's just like to be introduced to music. And what I love is because he listens to a lot of international artists. And that's the thing that is very, very important.
Amazing.
By people, culture connection.
Yes.
If there's nothing I've taught you is that we have to get out of these borders, that we are a global society, and that there are people who are making music, making art that is just as good, if not better, than what we have here, and that we're not the only purveyors and the pioneers of creation.
We're not, and sometimes we can become a little bit ignorant to that, you know, and really think, and arrogant also to think that we've created and developed this sound. But I mean, even South Africa has this amazing gospel. You know, they have an amazing gospel show that they broadcast in South Africa. I mean, there's so many. I often go on. I won't name drop.
What's the name
app
of the show?
What the South African show, I'll get that for you. But okay, I won't name drop the app that I use because they're not paying me. But
I feel you. I want to hear it after the show.
Yeah, definitely. But there's a specific app that you can go on, and I find the neatest stations overseas that play R&B. And
I
listen because sometimes they're ahead of the curve.
Yes.
Sometimes they are really, sometimes it's we. You know, and some, particularly Daily, who I'm in love with right now, his music, he's a British artist, and he's amazing. I mean, so it's like opening your mind to really what's out there. You have a good point. If you really love music, then you'll do that automatically because you'll just fall in love with the sound and the lyrics, you know, and gosh, we just really need to expand our horizons with that.
Absolutely. Well, we don't want to take too much of Cameron's time because she's a busy lady, but we always like to end our interviews on a little fun note. So we have a thing called Quick Fire.
Okay.
Which I didn't prepare you for because it wouldn't be Quick Fire. And all you are required to do is respond with the first thing that comes to your mind, and we will move on.
Okay.
I will not speak. I will wait for your answer. And once I receive it, I'll go on to the next question. Are you ready, Miss Green?
I'm ready.
And here we go.
Yikes.
What is your favorite movie?
Dying Young.
What is a food you cannot live without?
Avocados.
A song that gets you through hard times.
There's so many.
First one that comes to mind.
Power Belongs to God, Hezekiah Walker.
Favorite place to retreat to?
The beach.
Who or what is the greatest influence on your life?
My mom.
What's your favorite word?
Because.
And what is the proudest moment of your life?
The proudest moment of my life.
Thus far.
That is a hard one. There's so many great times. I would say the proudest moment of my life is I would say the day that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior.
Hey, well,
honestly, because I did that on my own without. And the first question, I have two favorite movies, so I'm just going, I have to say the other one. Can I say the other one?
Fine.
Can I break the rules? I like Under the Tuscan Sun because it means it. There's a lot of great things you can glean from that movie.
All right, all right, all right. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
I broke the rules.
It's okay. You won't be the first. ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Sister Fran, awesome woman, Cameron Green. Thank you so much for stopping by. Do you want to just give a little shout out about, you know, where people can reach you, find you?
Absolutely. And before I do that, thank you so much to you, Malcolm, for thinking of me. This is truly an honor and so much fun. Mm-hmm. And to your engineer, Chris, thank you so much for being, you know, I have mad respect for the folks behind the scenes because it takes a lot of work to do that.
It does.
It really does.
He also edits too. Thank the Lord.
Hold it,
editor.
Hold it.
Because Malcolm tried it a few times and I'm like, it took me hours.
Exactly.
Hours. Yeah, I was like, you know what? This is not my calling.
Yes. I respect the process.
I respect the process and all who are behind the scenes.
Absolutely. So please keep in touch with me. I am nothing without those who support me. Truly, truly, awesome. Truly. So if you'd like to keep in touch with me, you can do that. I am on social media all the time. I'm on Facebook at Cameron Green, E at the end. I'm on Twitter at Radio Free Top 23. And I'm on Instagram at LB Radio Chick. And my website is CameronGreen.com. I am just overjoyed and just beyond the moon and so grateful to God for who he is. And gosh, I owe him everything. So I just thank him for his grace and his mercy and for every opportunity that he gives me. I do not take anything lightly. I do not count anything on my own merit. It is all from him, and to God be the glory.
Amen. And on that note, remember to make a career out of humanity. Commit yourself to the noble struggle for equal rights. You will make a greater person of yourself, a greater nation of your country, and a finer world to live in. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And on that note, we'll see you next time, family. Peace. Yeah.